I'm sure we'd all agree that what we think is important. But perhaps what we think is of even greater importance to what you and I experience than we realize. After all, what we think affects our laws, our social customs. It affects our financial condition, our health, our appearance. Well, just about everything that happens to us is affected by the way we think. Now, just to illustrate this obvious point, come with me back 300 years into early American thinking, and let's take a look at some Massachusetts law in the year 1656. I'm going to read this law to you. I think we'll see how the thinking of a people affected their whole lifestyle. Try to imagine how you'd live under this law today. No woman shall kiss her child on the Sabbath. If any man kiss his wife, or wife kiss her husband on the Sabbath, the party in fault shall be punished. That was the law in Massachusetts. Mind you, nothing is said about kissing anyone else. You just couldn't kiss your husband, your wife, or your child. Now, before you and I are entertained at the thinking of those early Americans back in the year 1656, maybe we ought to ask ourselves a question. 300 years from now, in the year 2272, as they look back at you and me, what are they going to say about us? Consider how many laws and social customs you and I invent to cope with our problems. War and peace, domestic economy, social unrest, the health problems, pollution, injustice, education, food, the population problems, and so on. In spite of our most intense efforts, we don't always make the progress that we yearn for. Now suppose that men were to discover a supreme governing intelligence, an intelligence that's all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, all-knowing. Problems you and I struggle with, these men would handle with ease. Perhaps they'd smile at our primitive way of going at things. Or suppose you and I could discover this higher intelligence, this all-knowing, all-loving, all-wise intelligence, and somehow eliminate all the wrong thinking from the last 300 years of our history. I'm talking about the hatred, the greed, the selfishness, the envy, the fears, the sins. Suppose we could eliminate all that style of thinking from the last 300 years. The world today would look different, wouldn't it? We'd be minus some long-standing problems, wouldn't we? Or just look back at the past 10 years of your own life. Now, please, an honest show of hands. How many here have not made a mistake in the last 10 years? Don't see too many hands. Suppose there were a way that you and I could take this higher intelligence, this all-loving, all-knowing intelligence, and somehow dissolve all the past ignorant or malicious thinking that's produced in your life and my life, the accidents, the financial disasters, the family upsets, the emotional bodily upheavals, the wrong decisions, the injustices. Suppose we could eliminate the thinking that's done that to us, wouldn't your life, wouldn't my life be a lot freer without the accumulated effects of incorrect thinking? Well, now, suppose that you and I, during this hour, discover that there does, in fact, exist right now this infinite intelligence, this all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving intelligence, and that with it, we could stop all the wrong thinking in the world for one day, say, tomorrow. Well, think about it. What would happen to those Paris peace talks, the Mideast problems, the Far East problems, our international concerns? What would happen in the ghettos, the prisons, the hospitals? How would this affect the Wall Street problems? Our crime problems, hatred, fear problems, ecology, injustice, sin problems. Well, now, the question is this. Where, oh, where do men get the ideas they need in order to make this sort of an advance? Well, we say we get these ideas from our brains. But surely there's more to it than that. There's got to be a deeper source of intelligence somewhere, a spiritual dimension somewhere, maybe within us, maybe out there somewhere that we can touch base with that would give us this wider control, this loving order in our lives that we yearn for. Now, the world urgently needs good thinkers, daring thinkers, men and women ready to solve problems. But to be sure, this thinking is right, not wrong. To be sure, it's thinking that reaches through to ultimate solutions. Its source must be sought at a deeper level than that of the human mind. Such thinking, inspired thinking, must have a spiritual base. Our thought must reach out to God, divine mind. This is what really inspires you. This is what helps you think rightly. It's divine intelligence at work in you. It's divine mind that brings to you and to me this intelligent, loving control in our affairs. Now, the search for this higher intelligence than the human mind isn't new. Men and women have always felt the pressures, the complexities of this mortal sense of life. We've yearned for a mode of thought that would truly give us dominion over earthly experience. And the Bible speaks of this dominion over the earth in the book of Genesis. Old and New Testament stories abound with historical, symbolical illustrations of men reaching out for this higher intelligence that would guide them, strengthen them, heal them. Let me ask you a question. Does God exist as an infinite intelligence, a divine mind that man expresses? Mary Baker Eddy, discoverer and founder of Christian Science, answers that question, yes, in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. I'd like to read what she says. Infinite mind creates and governs all, from the mental molecule to infinity. Here, then, is a helpful way to experience the reality of God. We can experience God as mind, infinite intelligence, at work in us, guiding us, healing us, enlightening us, restoring harmony in our affairs, revealing deeper meanings of life to us. In this way, God indeed is near at hand. God is alive. God is relevant. God is experienced in a comforting, practical, enlightened way. Now, men have long searched for a world of spiritual ideas, spiritual values that would help them solve complex human problems. And you and I can become better thinkers, and we can have this closer relationship with God as we discover Him to be infinite mind, infinite intelligence that creates and governs all at work in us. Now, establish your own awareness of God's omnipotence, His omnipresence, as an intelligent, loving force or mind at work in you, then mind makes its presence known to you through right ideas, intuitions that guide you, strengthen you, heal, renew, comfort, that purify. Christ Jesus taught and masterfully proved that full and effective intelligence comes from God. In fact, we've got the King James Version of the Bible giving us St. Paul's expression, the mind of Christ, to designate this higher intelligence we can all turn to. Jesus referred to this ultimate intelligence as God or Father. Jesus maintained an inseparable oneness with what he called the Father. Jesus knew this divine intelligence, this divine power, could harmonize creation. For example, Jesus once met a man with a withered hand. Do you remember what he said to this man? Stretch it forth. And the hand was healed. It was restored. It was made as normal as the other hand. What Jesus thought certainly had deep meaning for that man. Jesus could see through the man's suffering to a more intelligent order, a more ultimate creation, God's handiwork. And this correct view of reality healed the man's hand. Now the question you and I ask is this: just how did Jesus think about all these things? Well, he told us. We've got it in his own words. He said, I and my Father are one. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Now, what do these words indicate? They tell us of a constant communion Jesus maintained with his intelligent source, God. Jesus expressed a divine intelligence which he knew governed man and the universe harmoniously. And his knowledge of this truth healed the man's hand. But Jesus did not claim this intelligence was a private or personal power. He said it came from an infinite source, from a universal source, from his Father. And he said that his followers can do the same works he did. In other words, you and I can express the same intelligence, the same consciousness of reality, the same mind, the mind of Christ. Now, this is practical wisdom to live by. May I just give an example of what I mean? I was visiting a university where there had been great turmoil between radical student groups, university administration. This was down in South America. And during an interview that I was having with the president of the university, he was describing the frustration, the misunderstanding, the anger, the hatred, the fear, the suspicion on both sides of the issues. And suddenly he turned to me, and they asked if I would talk to a delegation of the students. Somehow he felt that being an outsider, maybe I'd bring some fresh insight to an impasse. Well, that afternoon, I greeted 8 angry young people. And at once I felt a kind of mental turmoil or upheaval going on inside me. And I wrestled with such questions as, what right do I have to be here? What makes me think I can understand these people? What power do I have to satisfy them, to help them? What reason would they have for trusting me? And I despaired of accomplishing anything useful, and I just wanted to get up and walk out of that room. Then I realized what was happening to me. These were suggestions of the negative mind. Or as St. Paul put it, the carnal mind that's enmity against God. And I needed to remind myself of what God truly is. Infinite mind, infinite intelligence at work everywhere, every minute, in everyone. God, infinite mind, determines all thought, all experience, all existence. Right now, infinite mind expresses love, justice, order, purity, honesty, justice indeed, through right ideas, intuitions that dawn in the consciousness of all mankind. Right now, God is this mind speaking to all mankind through right ideas. Well, that was the idea I held to. This infinite intelligence at work everywhere, every minute, in everyone. Well, I began the conversation with the students by asking them this question. What is it you really want? Well, they had a list already. And some of their demands weren't so bad. Academic requirements, housing needs, creature needs. But I found myself saying to them, look, where are the spiritual values on your list? Well, they didn't know what I meant. So this launched us into a 2-hour discussion on the meaning, the reality of spiritual ideas, spiritual values such as love, purity, justice, honesty, truth, wisdom. We discussed the source of these spiritual ideas, this spiritual power. As a matter of fact, the source of all power, which is God. And you know, an interesting thing happened. Gradually, they began to glimpse an important point. That the university couldn't give them these spiritual values, which is what they really wanted. But mind at work in man could. God speaking to man through right ideas. This is the source of power. And it's important, is it not, to look to the right source for the power. Well, the visit turned out to be useful. There was a cooling of emotions on both sides. Negotiations between the students and the university administration resumed a more rational role. And I've kept in touch with the situation, and I find there's been good progress on both sides. No more of these violent, destructive outbreaks where nobody gains. Now, it seems to me that the energies of people can be given a fresh start. That you and I can glimpse the real spiritual basis of life. I think we're saying this. Inspiration from divine mind. God speaking to man through right ideas and intuitions. This is the spiritual power that operates as a law of adjustment in human affairs. University affairs, your affairs, my affairs, the government's affairs, international affairs. Our part, the part that you and I have in all of this, is to stay in tune with our source. Mind. Our part is to understand the relationship that we and all mankind have with the Almighty God. The relationship that exists between mind, divine mind, and man. Now, when you and I come to glimpse this relationship between mind and man, we discover a powerful law. That man truly is God's complete likeness. That man is not fragmentary, incomplete, unsatisfied, struggling, aging. Man is whole. Because man expresses God. Man is more than the animal. We've got to go beyond that concept. We've got to see man as a spiritual likeness or entity or identity as God fashioned him to be. Now, as you and I come to glimpse the reality of God, to experience the reality of God as mind, infinite intelligence, you and I become a healing, enlightening influence ourselves, a healing influence indeed, at whatever workbench in life we find ourselves. Divine mind in its fullness is divine love that comforts, divine truth that frees us, a living principle or law of all that exists at work in us and in our affairs. Now what happens is this. This deep spiritual power, God at work, brings into our experience a great richness of enduring values, vitality, intelligence. It makes our lives meaningful. And you know, one of the greatest needs today in human living is that each of us discover for ourselves a right sense of meaning. And here again, it's thought that determines our experience. Spiritual single-mindedness, thought based on the recognition of divine mind as the only true source of ideas. This is what brings meaning to your life as nothing else can. Now, what enables you and me to discern God's beautiful, meaningful creation in spite of this big scene of discord and limitation and sin about us? What enables you and me to see beyond the withered hand to a more ultimate, beautiful creation are the right ideas that come to us from Him. A divine intelligence we reflect from infinite mind, God speaking to man through right ideas. Now this is indeed practical wisdom to live by. Working with the idea that man is God's complete likeness gives to you and to me the heart to work on, to improve things. We don't quit, we don't give up so easily. By experiencing the reality of God as mind, we're able to lift our thinking, our consciousness, and therefore our experience out of the muddiness, out of the materialistic drag, and we're better able to help others. But to do all of this, you and I need to understand something, that what we call this big material scene, the material conditions, the limitations, the sins that tie us down, these are mortally mental phenomena, projections of thought, counterfeits of divine creation, divine intelligence. Now, all this big scene around us of limitation, all of this is corrected and harmonized as human thinking is enlightened and purified by an understanding of man's relationship to his source mind, God. In other words, as you and I begin to identify divine mind as the source of our thought, the phenomena of our daily life are harmonized, no matter whether it's your farm, your business, your home, your body, your school, your government, affairs here at home or overseas. What is happening? We're putting all of this under a divine, loving, infinite control, an intelligent control. What is happening? You and I are putting the government upon his shoulders, where it belongs. Now something important happens. The moment you and I begin to identify the source of our thought as mind, God speaking to man through right ideas, more and more then, you and I develop the capacity to exclude thoughts that do not come to us from God. I'm talking about the fearful, confused, sinful thinking, the unkind, unhealthy thinking, the wrong conceptions of ourselves and our neighbor, wrong conceptions of God and man, of God as cold, distant, abstract, meaningless, of man as animal, physical, limited. Now, the source of all this wrong conception that troubles you and me, burdens us, and buries us, is this negative mind, or as St. Paul put it, the carnal mind that's enmity against God. Christian scientists use the term mortal mind, meaning the same thing St. Paul spoke of. Now, I say supposed source of wrong conception. Because this mortal mind, this negative mind, with its vibrations, its brain waves, its electrical chemical impulses, is not the true seat of intelligence at all. It's the seat of misconception. This mortal mind, this carnal mentality with its deceits, mistakes, and gloom is not a mind or intelligence at all. Now, is it a shock to hear this? To us, to the Christian scientist, the term mortal mind, carnal mind, same thing, is just a way of describing the supposed counterfeit of divine intelligence. It's the source of all false, evil, sinful phenomena. It's the false dreamer of false dreams. Now, to the extent that you and I exclude this counterfeit intelligence from our consciousness, and we do it through daily prayer or communion with God, as we exclude this counterfeit intelligence, its powerlessness, its unreality, its non-existence, become apparent to us. As we learn to exclude mortal mind and its lying, limiting, sinful beliefs, you and I are progressively gaining control of and harmonizing our affairs, external affairs, bodily affairs. Why? Because we're putting the government of this whole big show upon His shoulders, where it belongs. Now, this loving, intelligent, harmonious control that you and I yearn for comes about quite naturally, because outward circumstances, conditions, events, as we've said, are projections of thought, for better or worse. So, the replacement of the source of those conditions, mortal mind beliefs, with ideas of divine mind, well, it's as though you're letting in the light, progressively excluding darkness and its shadows. Now, what happens when light displaces darkness? Where does this darkness go? Well, into some kind of nothingness, we say. All right, then. Mortally minded ignorance, its projections, limitations, its sins, dissolve, lose their control over us. The result, a harmonious adjustment. The result, a correction in human affairs. The light displacing the darkness. The event that Christian scientists call a healing. Now, one definition of healing is this: to make sound, to make whole, to restore to original purity. Well, then healing can take place in bodily functions. Healing can take place in interpersonal relations. Healing can take place in financial conditions. Healing can occur wherever undesirable conditions exist and need to be overcome. Take physical healing, for example. I'd like to read to you something from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. She says, God being all in all, he made medicine. But that medicine was mind. Now, that's a bold statement. How did it come to be made? How can you say mind is medicine? Medicine is mind. And remember, we're talking about mind with a capital M. Divine mind, divine intelligence. God speaking to man through right ideas. Well, let's go back 100 years into New England thinking. Mary Baker Eddy had suffered much with sickness. Human tragedy in many forms had struck at her, her family. She searched deeply for answers. Answers that would help her cope with these problems of evil. Like Job in the Bible, she tried many different comforters, but was not comforted. She found that the human mind appears to have strong control over one's affairs, including the body. So she studied and tried various techniques to bring about a change of thought that would aid the healing of the body. But whenever any relief would be found, it would be temporary. The suffering would come back worse or change its form into a more complicated ailment. Well, Mrs. Eddy was always a spiritually minded thinker, even as a child. But she was not finding answers in the religious teachings of her day. And it was not because she didn't try. Finally, at a moment of extreme suffering, Mrs. Eddy prayerfully, urgently reached out to know how Jesus healed. How did Jesus do those beautiful healings recorded in the Bible? Well, she studied and pondered these healings, prayerfully, urgently seeking her way. And answers began to come in the form of deep spiritual insights, profound truths, discoveries, revelations. And then she found she was healed. And then she found she could heal others. And she wrote all of this down in this book that I'm holding in my hand, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. This book is the basic writing on our subject of Christian Science. You can find this book in inexpensive paperback form in any Christian Science reading room, or you can borrow it there free from the lending library. Now, Mrs. Eddy began to demonstrate that true medicine is not matter. It's not the human mind. It's divine mind, God speaking to man through right ideas. And then she began to teach others that the acceptance of spiritual ideas from mind and the exclusion of lying material beliefs of mortal mind, that this is what produces the spiritual understanding that heals. Again, the light displacing the darkness. Well, at first she worked with what you might call the simple folk, the shoemakers, the laborers, the homemakers in the town of Lynn, Massachusetts. These were the people who would listen. And then these people found that they could heal themselves and others. They were learning from Mrs. Eddy that mind is medicine, not only for the body, but for discords out there, around them. Well, later, Mrs. Eddy moved to Boston, long a great intellectual, cultural, spiritual center. And here her teachings began to attract the attention not only of the simple folk, so-called, but people of some intellectual, cultural standing as well. What Mrs. Eddy hoped for was this, that the established institutions of her day, religion, education, medicine, that they would embrace her discovery. But they did not. As a matter of fact, along with the love for Mrs. Eddy and the acceptance of Christian Science by many, there came also a bitterness, a bitter hostility. And so, in order to protect and perpetuate her discovery, Mrs. Eddy founded a church, as Martin Luther had done, as John Wesley had done, and she called this church the Church of Christ Scientist. Countless people have since proved that mind is medicine, that mind is infinite intelligence, God speaking to man, that mind is a living principle or law that heals. Now, I can just hear the voice of the skeptic saying today, as in Mrs. Eddy's time, I don't believe that mind alone can heal, can change physical evidence. All right? Suppose you could go back into world thinking, world history, 500 years, to about the year 1492, and suppose you could talk to one Christopher Columbus. And suppose you could say to him, dear fellow, you're wasting your time crossing the ocean in 3 slow boats. There's a faster way to go, you try to tell him. You can do it in a matter of minutes, you try to convince him. Well, would he believe you? Can you imagine the skepticism that would greet you? Yet, is this not what the astronauts have done many times? Oceans of space in matters of minutes. Now, the scientific and engineering laws that the astronauts applied existed in Columbus's day. Well, he didn't know about them. They hadn't been discovered yet, but they were there. And how long did it take men to discover knowledge that was there all the while? Nearly 500 years rolled by. Well, can't we plug in a little faster? Now, Christian Science is saying this. Don't limit the power of divine mind to reveal to you intelligence that removes sickness, sin, death, despair, injustice, unemployment, lack, whatever restricts man's joy and his freedom, whatever restricts that more abundant life Jesus promised. Christian Science says this, open your thought and listen to what mind is telling you. Now, if at moments you and I feel shut out from this divine mind, this mind of Christ, we can do what Jesus did when the pressures of the world would have overwhelmed him. We can renew our communion with mind through Christly prayer. We can pray just as Jesus prayed, I and my Father are one. We can mentally, prayerfully insist upon our oneness with our intelligent source, mind, God, as mind's expression, as God's image and likeness. Now, this prayer means that you and I discipline our thinking. We've got to reject the fears, ingratitudes, discouragements, depressions, all that false and sinful clutter, those false negative patterns of the negative mind, of this carnal mind that St. Paul told us is enmity against God. That style of thinking is harmful to us and has got to go. It hurts others. Instead, what you and I need to do is daily prayerfully commune with our source, affirm our at-one-ment with divine intelligence, God. This lets in the light. Divine mind then fills our consciousness with expressions of love, beauty, health, harmony, unselfishness, security, wisdom, orderliness, justice, purity, all of the qualities of the Christ mind that Jesus expressed even in face of severe challenge. Now, these qualities of mind, of divine mind, are revealed to us through prayer, through communion with the Most High God. Thinking from this basis leads to right action. Our prayers then become the consistent and persistent denial of mortal mind, the carnal mind, with its lying, limiting, sinful phenomena. Our prayers then become the consistent and persistent recognition of divine mind as the only true source of ideas, and therefore the determining factor in our life and in the life of others. This power of divine mind works to govern us and others correctly, at home and abroad. In this way, you see, our prayers work to change us and the problems around us. I know very well from personal experience what can happen in the individual human consciousness or experience when these ignorant, limiting beliefs of mortal mind are excluded by divine mind through Christly prayer. Some years ago, I had a growth on my body that had reached an aggravated state. I came across this statement in Mrs. Eddy's book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. It helped me. I'd like to read it to you. A Christian Scientist's medicine is mind, the divine truth that makes man free. Well, I began to apply what seemed to me to be the medicine of mind to my problem. Mind became the treatment. Mind became the medicine. In other words, I treated myself with the ideas, the intuitions, the truths of divine mind, God speaking to man, what I felt God was trying to say to me. And the treatment went something like this. Mind, God, creates all intelligently, perfectly in his likeness. Mind operates as a law of excision. Mind cuts out mortally mental phenomena, counterfeits of reality, and prevents them from taking discordant effect in human experience. Since mind, God, creates every part of man's identity, nothing can be real or true about man unless mind, which is infinitely good, made it. Also, I prayed to see this law of good, this divine power, divine law, operating clearly in my life. Prayed to understand this law of divine excision by means of mind's ideas unfolding in my consciousness. Again, the light displacing the darkness, or mental surgery, you might call it. Mental surgery. Well, as the weeks went on, there was opportunity to examine further what Mrs. Eddy has written about God as mind, and how mind expresses true ideas in man. And from a careful study of the Bible and science and health, I began to learn something not only of mental surgery, but of mental chemistry as well. And I began to see that the body is reconstructed, renewed, in proportion as our thoughts are spiritualized, transformed by divine mind. And I reasoned that since the body is affected by thought, I'd better be sure that the thoughts going on in me are good. Well, now, how in the world can you be sure of that? The only way I knew was to pray deeply that all thoughts come not from mortal mind, but from divine mind, God speaking to man through right ideas. This is the supreme governing intelligence. This is the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving intelligence. And thou shalt have no other. Now, the right identification of mind's ideas as your consciousness of reality, as, well, it makes all the difference in the world to your mental makeup, to your mental chemistry, and therefore to the body, which is the visible projection of thought. Instead of the discordant chemistry from such mental stresses as hatred, fear, sin, what you and I are doing, we are setting in motion the new chemistry of mind, God speaking. And this governs our bodies harmoniously. This action of divine mind produces order, harmony, love, beauty. The result is healing. Now we're talking about mental chemistry. And we're asking, well, what is man's substance? Ultimately, what is man really constituted of? Man is made up of mind's ideas. Mind with a capital M. Now, these ideas of divine mind move together harmoniously because mind, the creator, is infinite love. Well, then this means that the ideas that spring from your intelligent, loving source, God, constitute all your substance, all your faculties, all your functioning. Now, this divine source gives to you unlimited capacity to experience good. Do you see how mind becomes your medicine? Spiritual ideas dawn in your consciousness. They become part of your conscious identity. If you entertain these thoughts, and if you and I accept these thoughts, we begin to believe and to understand these ideas. And this has a therapeutic effect upon the body. By identifying the source of your thought as mind, God speaking to you, you exclude or excise thoughts of mortal mind. You bring into action a Christianly scientific mental chemistry based on spiritualized thinking. And as this is done, you and I are progressively gaining control of our affairs, including the body. We are putting the government of all of this big scene upon his shoulders, where it belongs. Now, it was this type of thinking, these ideas of divine mind move together harmoniously because mind, the creator, is infinite love. Well, then this means that the ideas that spring from your intelligent, loving source, God, constitute all your substance, all your faculties, all your functioning. Now, this divine source gives to you unlimited capacity to experience good. Do you see how mind becomes your medicine? Spiritual ideas dawn in your consciousness. They become part of your conscious identity. If you entertain these thoughts, and if you and I accept these thoughts, we begin to believe and to understand these ideas. And this has a therapeutic effect upon the body. By identifying the source of your thought as mind, God speaking to you, you exclude or excise thoughts of mortal mind. You bring into action a Christianly scientific mental chemistry based on spiritualized thinking. And as this is done, you and I are progressively gaining control of our affairs, including the body. We are putting the government of all of this big scene upon his shoulders, where it belongs. Now, it was this type of thinking, mental surgery, mental chemistry, if you please, that helped me. I call it the medicine of mind. It brought complete healing. This growth, I mentioned, gradually subsided until it disappeared. It went back where it came from. Thinking, brought into line with divine mind, had excluded unhealthy beliefs of mortal mind and their phenomena of disease from my experience. Now, in this way, you and I can begin to understand how God, infinite mind, really works in our affairs. An intelligence that's good, loving, perfect, powerful. Now, you and I understand all of this by means of mind itself, by means of right ideas we reflect from mind. In other words, it is not something you and I do alone. St. Paul put it this way. He said, God worketh in you. God works in us through his ideas and shows us his beautiful handiwork. The psalmist put it a little differently. He said, in thy light shall we see light. Christian Science puts it this way. Divine mind, through its ideas, heals us, including what we call physical disease as well as discords out there. Now, in effect, what have we been saying? Man has, in reality, no mind apart from God, because mortal mind and all its phenomena are a lie, a deception, a false suggestion about man. And we've seen how even a glimpse of this truth can bring healing and freedom. It does something else. The deep spiritual fact of man's relationship to mind, God, brings dominion to us over another urgent problem of our day. The problem described as mental stress. The other day, I was riding a Boston subway, and I read this advertisement sponsored by the Mayor's Office on Human Rights. I'd like to read it to you. I'd like to know what you think of it. You know, as you're hanging on to one of those straps for dear life, you can't help but read these things that are right in front of your eyes. Well, I'd like to know if this strikes you the same way it hit me. Doctors tell us, hating other people can cause ulcers, heart attacks, skin rashes, headaches, backaches, asthma. It doesn't make the people you hate feel too good either. Hatred is a deadly form of stress. So why do people do it when it hurts them and others? A psychiatrist at Duke University spent some 13 years researching the forces that speed death. Not life, death. Well, he found the forces in the forefront to be boredom, failure, sadness. He concludes that a cheerful disposition increases longevity. And here's an item from a magazine published by the American Medical Association entitled Today's Health. It notes that emotional stresses and tensions, such as hatred, frustration, anxiety, disturb the orderly environment inside the body and produce a variety of physical problems. In short, what are modern physicians telling us? That much of today's pain, physical, emotional, social, maybe even economic, is due to these severe interpersonal problems of fear, anger, envy, hatred, the malcontent. Well, we can surely agree. Whether one is a business executive, homemaker, school teacher, artist, engineer, minister, college student, social worker, or going through life as a tourist. Most of us have encountered stress due to people problems. But what lies behind these stress problems? Actually, all these forms of mental stress, hatred, fear, spring from the same common false belief that man has a mind which he does not get from God. Our problems are brought about by the false dualistic acceptance of two minds, a divine mind and a mortal mind. Now, we get the better of mental stress when we rid ourselves of this false dualistic acceptance of two minds, a divine mind and a mortal mind, and instead identify divine mind as the only true source of our thought. Do that, and you get rid of double-mindedness. Do that, and dominion over stress and some of these other problems is possible. Now, almost every one of us struggles with thoughts and experiences that disturb our peace, that bring us into conflict. The healthy thinker is able to cope with these tensions, and he might even enjoy the challenge. But what do? When you come up against tough problems that demand more intelligence, more love, more strength than you think you've got, where do you turn? How do we, in those moments, establish and identify divine mind as the only true source of our thought? You do it by acknowledging the spiritual facts of mind and man. You do it by understanding the relationship, the lawful relationship that exists between mind and man. Christian Science says you do it by prayer that goes something like this. Man expresses all mind is, because man is God's image and likeness. Man's mind is ageless, without beginning or end, because God is. Man's mind is indestructible, because God is. Man's mind expresses perfectly formed ideas, because God is perfect. Nobody is excluded from mind, because God is all-inclusive, no respecter of persons. Man's mind is unlimited, because God is all-knowing, all-seeing. You and I have the God-given right to know what we need to know when we need to know it, because God, infinite mind, understands all. You and I always have the presence of mind, because we always have the presence of God. Man's mind does not make mistakes, because God is unerring. Your mind is not weak, because God is omnipotent. Your mind is never weary, dull, forgetful, confused, worn out, aging, struggling, because God is not. Your mind is not hateful, envious, doubtful, sinful, dishonest, fearful, guilt-ridden, disturbed, tempted, because God is your mind. And God is infinite love. Now, do you see what this one mind, this mind of Christ, can really mean to you? Certainly the world needs good thinkers, daring thinkers. And why shouldn't you be one of them? Thank you.